In fact, it should just be a spiritual discipline of ours that we should be calling on the name of the Lord. Praying without ceasing, Paul would say, right? In his epistles, that simple instruction. Sometimes I think, you know, we toil and we labor and you wonder, Lord, are you going to answer my prayer? I mean, some of us, I've been praying for some things for several years, even some for over a decade, waiting and watching, believing God answers prayer. What do you do when he doesn't answer prayer right away? I mean, this is what the parable is going to address. And you stop and think about it. We live in this day of instant gratification, right? I mean, you immediately get an answer. My goodness, think how upset you and I are when we text someone and they don't text us right back. Now, don't laugh. You know what I'm talking about. I know they saw that because I see they're on their phone. It shows me that they saw it and they started to type, but they stopped typing. Why aren't they? Now, y'all, somebody's already elbowed a spouse right now. Why don't they respond right away when I text them, when I call them? I mean, we are conditioned in that way by so many things. And that can influence what we think about prayer and why God doesn't answer our prayer right away. And Jesus, in teaching about prayer, not only giving the model of prayer, but also helping to realize the responsibility we have to be persistent in our prayer, why do we do that? Why should we do that? Why should we not give up hope when he doesn't answer right away? Again, some of us have been praying for loved ones. Our desires for God to stir their hearts, to open their eyes, to remove the blinders, to draw them to him. And I'm encouraging you, don't give up because someone didn't give up praying for you. Amen? It was the prayers of my mom faithfully praying and calling on the Lord and God stirring my heart and helping to realize, and I got to quit running from him. You can't outrun him. You can't run away from him. He's always there. But come around, turn around, see and look. He's right there calling, wooing, showing love, desiring that we come to him. Here in chapter 11, Jesus, of course, the disciples, wanting the instruction on how to pray, because John and his disciples prayed, the prophet John the Baptist, he taught his disciples how to pray, how to call on the name of the Lord. It's something that we should do frequently, calling on the name of the Lord, but also learning how to be more intentional in our prayers, how to be more focused in our prayers. And in the midst of that, Jesus gives this model of prayer and then this reminder of the need to be persistent. The pattern is essential. It's not something that we should learn and by rote just repeat. Right? We frequently do that. Anybody who's played on a ball team has heard this prayer 100,000 times, it seems like, right? And that's going to give us victory, right? It was a model, a pattern to follow. But the persistence aspect, that's what we want to focus on in just a moment. But let's see what he says here. Luke chapter 11. Now it came to pass, as he was praying, I circled that in my Bible, because this is the context, that's what he was doing. He was praying at a certain place. When he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then this parable. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Father, tonight I pray for a spirit of relentlessness. God, that there would be a spirit of perseverance in our prayers. God, I pray that you'd help us to realize we need to call on you and to beseech you and to call on your name and to trust in you and your timing. God, may we not grow weary in praying and asking for assistance. God, may we realize, as Jesus will even teach, you're a good Father that gives good gifts. And God, even tonight, Lord, if we've been praying for some season, Lord, whether it's a week, a month, a year, a decade, whatever it is, may we not lose hope tonight, but choose to believe our God will answer in his time. And Lord, hear our prayer. And Lord, I pray that the burdens that we carry, give us the grace as we carry these and trust in you and call in you. And Father, in your time, do your good work according to your plans and purposes. We trust in you, Jesus, and ask these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Jesus giving the pattern for prayer, this model, we're familiar most oftentimes with the Sermon on the Mount there in Matthew chapter 6 and how he taught his disciples there a lesson or two about persistence in prayer and about this pattern for prayer and the importance of it. Of course, it's a spiritual discipline. It should be something we do on a regular basis, just as we give, just as we fast, those three spiritual disciplines highlighted there in the Sermon on the Mount. But the pattern of prayer that he gives his disciples is one that we should embrace and accept. I love the part where it says, our Father, right? We're in a community, right? We are part of a privileged community. To stop and think that we're calling on God Almighty, and sometimes when you think of that, I'm calling on God to help me, right? It's a term which embodies so much, but when you say our Father, right, that's about relationship. That's about the relationship we have as his children, his spiritual children that we have. Because of the new birth experience, because we've been adopted into his family, we are his, we belong to him. And as a loving father, he wants you and I to realize that relationship is vital to our prayer life, and we call on him in that. In fact, this is a pattern that you and I should see as we mature in our praying as believers. We should be frequently starting our prayer calling on the Father. Now, don't misunderstand me. The Father and the Son and the Spirit are all God. They're fully God. We pray to the Father in the power of the Spirit because of what Jesus has done. Amen? And we pray in Jesus' name. And we should call on him in that way. But orienting on the Father highlights our relationship, which is going to be essential, particularly when you get down to verses 11, 12, and 13, the very end of this pericope of teaching, when Jesus emphasizes the nature of our Father and why I ask, why you should ask, because of what we know to be true about him as a good, good Father. Well, why not start our prayer that way? Why not begin that way? Truly believing, Father in heaven. Not just my Father, our Father. You see, we're part of a community, a family of faith. Not some Lone Ranger faith here. Listen, I got other brothers and sisters that are calling on the name of the Lord. Amen? We have other brothers and sisters that are calling on the Father. And the Father has time for all of us. I'm telling you, have you ever raised multiple children and they all want something from you at the same time? I'm telling you, that'll really stretch you as a dad, right? Wanting to meet all those needs. Our Father doesn't have that problem. Aren't you grateful tonight? Right now, every one of us in this room, all of his children in this sanctuary, all of his children all around the world could at the same moment voice a prayer, and it's not a challenge for him. What an amazing God. What an amazing Father. But our Father, listen, he's not here. He's in heaven. He's there on his throne in that position of power, that sovereign role that he has over all of his created order, understanding, knowing what you and I need, and the moment, what we're going through, and able to supply and meet all those needs. Why not bring our requests to him? He's there high above us, and so we can call on him. We should fix our eyes on him. I think that's why the psalmist would say, I'm lifting up my eyes to the hills. It helps to orient us by looking up, right? We're looking down here on the situation. Sometimes we're looking down. Oh, there's no hope. There is with him. Look up, gaze upon him, believe in him. He's on his throne. He's there in heaven. And beloved, he is able to do something about that situation. Now, here's what he's going to do about that situation. His will. He's going to do his will. His name is hallowed. He's set apart. He's the one that we call on. It's his kingdom that we desire to come. It's his will that we desire to be done. I mean, this helps me in my prayer to realize, listen, so often I'm asking for my will to be done. Sometimes that affects my little kingdom here on earth. And what I deem is essential and necessary. Rather than seeing, no, God, what is your will to be done? How does this expand your kingdom? Because that should be our heart's desire. Listen, if he's on his throne, hallowed, set apart, set above all things, beloved, his will be done. Why not pray for it? Now listen, sometimes we want that will to be done, but what if it upsets my plans and my will? That's where surrender comes in. And that's what prayer teaches us to do. Constantly yielding and surrendering to his sovereign plans, his sovereign purposes, and praying that they come to pass. Not just that Jesus comes and reigns on his throne here on earth for 1,000 years, as I believe the Word of God teaches, but praying for that to happen now in my heart, to reign right here in my heart and to rule in my heart. And his will to be done in me, through me, not just for me, but for him, and it to be accomplished. As it is in heaven here, I mean, do you think the angels in heaven do exactly what the Father says? Absolutely. And our desire is that we would see that mimicked here, repeated here, in the things that happen in our life. Now then, when you're earnestly seeking the Father, in right relationship with him, reverencing his name, hallowed above all, calling and asking for his will to be done, then you can ask for yourself, right? Because you're properly oriented on God, not yourself. And that's essential in prayer. And once we are recognizing he is the priority, right, and praising him, that's where P-R-A-Y, praising him, we could repent. That's the next R, right? We would want to repent, but then ask for ourselves and ask for others as well. But we do that in that order. We put the priority first on the Father. And then we ask, and there's four simple things that are requested here that in the pattern for prayer. Give us day by day, or give us this day. You know that version over in Matthew's gospel. Give us day by day our daily bread. Now, for the Jew, that would really, really settle in their minds and hearts, because they would think manna, right? Day by day, God demonstrated his faithfulness as a good shepherd of the flock of Israel there in the wilderness. Day by day, he gave them their daily bread. And it was always enough. You realize, no matter how much, how hard you worked, how earnestly you worked, when everyone went out and gathered that day, they all came back and they all had the same amount. And you know what that amount was? Enough. Right? That's what they have. And that's what we have, what we need to realize. God, give me what I need today. Supply my needs. And praise God, he is able to do that. And then some. I mean, I love what the psalmist says and David writes over in Psalm 23. My cup overflows. That's just the nature of our God when he gives, amen? But you don't necessarily ask for the overflow. You ask God, you know what I need. Praise God, he knows what I need and when I need it. And he's able to supply that need. Call on him. Ask him, God, the physical, the material provisions that I need to sustain me in life, please give it. I mean, don't forget, look at those little sparrows, hoppity, hoppity, hop there at Food Lion and Walmart. You know, they're flitting and flying all around. And the Father cares for them. Are you of not more value than they? That's what Jesus' instruction in the Sermon on the Mount was. I mean, you're not going to add one cubit to your life. He's the one that's in control of all of that. Why not ask him, God, you know what I need and how much I need, and I trust you to provide. Praise the Lord, he's not just a giver, he's also a forgiver, right? He forgives. That's the greatest giving, actually, when we stop and think about it. Now, he would forgive us our sins. Now, it's interesting here. He says, and we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Of course, over in the Sermon on the Mount, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us. There's a debt that comes with that when someone sins against us, just as we're indebted to the Lord when we sin against him. We owe him something, a consequence for that sin. But you know, as we forgive others, man, we can cry out, God, forgive me. Pour out your mercy. Pour it out into my life. And we should ask for that provision. Now look, these are material provisions, physical provisions, but they're also spiritual provisions as well. Because we are bodies and we are a soul. We are souls that have a body. And we need to realize that tonight. We need these two essential things. I need something to sustain my life day by day. And I need something to sustain my spiritual walk. And part of that is forgiveness for my sins. And that desire to walk close and clean and earnestly call on the Lord. And then guide me, direct me. Don't lead me into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We've sinned, we've fallen short of the glory, and I'm telling you, I'm tempted oftentimes, and so are you. Every day, that devil, he wants to trip us up. Praise God, our God is greater. Praise God, that song we sang, there's victory in Jesus through his blood. Praise God, the power of sin doesn't have to reign and rule in my life, and God can direct me and lead me. Even when I'm in temptation, he can lead us through and out of that temptation. I'm reminded what Paul would tell the Corinthians. Listen, there's no temptation, beloved, that has come upon you and come upon me that's not common to man. We're not the only one going through that temptation, all right? There's other brothers and sisters that are tempted in a similar way as we are. So don't ever say, I'm the only one that's going through this. No, it's common to all of us. Because the devil, he wants us all to stumble and fall. Someone's going through it too. But God is faithful in the midst of that temptation to open a way of escape, to open a doorway so that you and I don't have to give in to that temptation. And oftentimes we need to pray when we're tempted, God, show me the way out quickly. Lead me not into temptation. Lead me out of this way. I don't want to be tempted, Lord. And as I'm tempted, even that leading me away, Lord, that validates my faith is genuine. My faith is real. God, lead me out from this and don't let me, Lord, succumb to it. Deliver me. Deliver us from the evil one. Now listen, the devil understands the power of prayer. The devil understands, listen, that is greatly to his demise when you and I call on the name of the Lord. You know why? When we draw near to God, what does the devil have to do? James says he flees from us. And when are we drawing near to God? But when we call on him, Father, I need you in this moment. I call on you, deliver me from this temptation. Lead me not into temptation. This tempting one is here, and he wants me to stumble. He wants me to fail. But Lord, let my faith be proven genuine, that I really am a child of God, a son and a daughter of God, and I'm not going to give in to it. And this is just the model that we need. We need God's direction. We need his protection. We need his provisions. All the things morally, materially, physically, spiritually. This is what we pray for our needs. And then you say, well, Pastor Chris, I've been asking for these things. I've been calling in these. I've been following the model prayer, laying this before the Lord, and he just hasn't answered. What do I do now? Well, that's when the parable arises. Just on the heels of this model, this pattern, there is this emphasis now on persistence. And he gives this illustration of a friend that comes at midnight. Now see, they had a responsibility. If someone came and knocked on your door late at night, you didn't want to be inhospitable. I mean, you welcome people in. They didn't have a Holiday Inn Express or, you know, a Marriott down the street, right? They didn't have that. You stayed with friends. You stayed with family. And when people came to town, they may surprise you, right? And show up and, I wonder who that is. Who is it? It's me, your friend. And he says a friend comes and he came at midnight of all times, right? Surely he would have just gone on. He wouldn't have stopped and knocked. No, friend, I need your assistance. Why? Well, I've got friends that have come into town, and I need 3 loaves. I've got to feed them. They're starving. They're hungry, and I don't want to be inhospitable. These have come. You're my friend. Help me to help my friend. But if you don't, then I'm going to be, well, it's It's going to be a problem. And yet from the inside, you see the gentleman here who responds to his friend in need and simply says, listen, do not trouble me. The door's shut. My children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give to you. I've washed my feet. I'm not going to get down on this dirty floor and walk across there and get the bread for you. I'm sleeping. I'm not getting up for you. No, I need some bread. I need to help a friend in need. Jesus says, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give to him as many as he needs. Now see, this is what we need to realize. It wasn't because of his relationship as a friend. It was because of the persistence. He won't stop knocking. And Jesus is saying, that's the model, that's the illustration for how you and I should approach the throne of God. With persistence. Don't give up on what you're praying for tonight. Don't give up on who you're praying for tonight. Don't throw in the towel and say, he's never going to answer, I just forget it. That's not the nature of our God. Jesus is saying, call on him, believe, trust, ask. In fact, that's precisely what he says next. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Why? Because everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door, it will be opened. You see, that persistence is reflected in the degree to which we ask and keep seeking and keep knocking. And that should be growing. Well, you know, what does that do for you and I? It grows our faith in God, our dependence upon him. It helps him to realize we're serious in this relationship. Our Father in heaven, we really, really need you. God loves when we express our dependence upon him. He loves when we express our devotion to him and praising him. But praying to him is acknowledging, God, I need you. I desperately need you. I call on you. You know, I had a situation. Someone came to me and said that, they mentioned to me yesterday a need that they had. And I said, well, I just want you to know, I've been praying for that for many years, every day. And I don't stop praying for it. And just reminding them that I am persistent in my prayer on their behalf because I believe God will answer in his time. And when he does, it's always on time. Amen? So we ask, we seek, we knock. All of this is instruction on that persistence when we find a need. That God will supply however God wants to supply. It's not a question of his availability. He's available. It's not a question of his ability. He's more than able. Amen? But see, it's his plans, his kingdom, his will, what he's doing. And beloved, let's just be honest tonight. His ways are so much higher. His thoughts are so much higher, Isaiah 55. I mean, they're way up there. And you know what? That's very humbling because you and I have to realize we just need him. We need to call on him. Now, it gives us a reason why. Why would I be so persistent? Why would I choose to keep knocking? Why would I choose to keep asking? Why would I keep searching and seeking? Why would I choose to believe that he'll open that door? His nature. Now, this is critical and vital. Again, remember, it opened up in the model prayer with what? Our Father. And it closes with that. Notice this illustration in verse 11, 12, and 13. If a son asks for bread, what does the son imply? Father. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? I mean, you can imagine, I love Bojangles biscuits. And, you know, imagine a biscuit. You know, in those days, you know, a biscuit looked like a stone, right? Now, they weren't hard as rocks. Now, I've had some biscuits that are hard as rocks. Not a Bojangles biscuit, though, amen? But anyways, you know, if he asks for a piece of bread, you're not going to give him a stone, right? That break his tooth. No father would do that. If he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake, a serpent instead of a fish? No, he wouldn't do that. He's hungry. You want to feed him. You're not going to give him one of those serpents? No. Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Something deadly? No. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, it's fascinating. This is a little different than Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. The point there was Jesus would give good gifts. He would supply. Here he says he'll give the Holy Spirit. Wow, this is fascinating. Stop and think about this for a moment. We have a need. Why do we ask? We ask because he's good. The nature of our God is graciousness. Now, that's important for my perspective of my spiritual walk to realize. He's not just a God that just bashes sinners, right? No, he's gracious. His hand is reaching. His hand is providing. He's a loving Father. And if I, being evil, know how to give a good gift to my child when they... Now we've got grandchildren. That's a fun thing now. I'm waiting for her to... I know she was asking me for a pony yesterday, but I'll have to talk to Miss April and see if we can provide that. Amen? Those lovely little blue eyes just smiling. Yeah. Asking. And I know someone told me today, as the children were walking out the door and I was just giving them some candy, they said, oh, that's a grandparent, I'll tell you. Yeah. If my children know how to, if I'm evil and I know how to give good gifts to my children, how much more does our Father in heaven give good gifts to us? He's not evil. He's good. Beloved, listen, what good thing do you need tonight? Can I tell you what the good thing you and I need tonight? Is what the psalmist says. The nearness of my God is my good. The nearness of my God is my good. If we have a need, will God not give us himself, the Spirit? That's what I need. I need God's Spirit, his presence, to remind me, listen, he's gracious. He knows. He can supply. Just ask. And we need to realize that tonight. I know we look in the world and think it's got everything, you know, we can just get this and I'll find paradise. Just get this and I'll be truly happy. But beloved, anything that you and I seek apart from him is really worthless. And it's not for our good. He is our good. And his nearness, his presence is what I need. Because his Spirit empowers me through those trials. His Spirit guides me from those temptations. His Spirit reminds me of his grace and of his mercy that are available in my time of need. And I need his Spirit to remind me of that. And remind me, keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. In fact, it's fascinating. You know what Paul says over in Romans? He says, listen, you know what? When you and I don't even know what to pray... We don't even have the words to pray. It's just, God, it's such a weight. It's such a burden. I don't even have the words. The Spirit of God intercedes for us within us, voicing that prayer. And on the receiving end there, we've got one right at the right hand of the Father, Jesus, who's receiving that prayer and interceding for us. Man, what a privileged position we're in. Can I tell you tonight, choose to call on his name. Choose to believe that he's able. Choose to believe that he hears. Don't you throw in the towel tonight. Be persistent. This is the instruction. This isn't just for the disciples. This is for us as disciples of Christ. This is for you and I who've chosen to follow him. We need more prayers and prayers calling on the name of the Lord. It's how God works. And it's his Spirit within us that enables us to realize that. I mean, let's be honest tonight. How many of us pray for rain and carry an umbrella, right? That's the great illustration. How many of us believe that? Believe in faith. Don't doubt. Don't wonder. God's good. And he knows. Right now, every single need you and I have, he knows. That should reassure our hearts tonight and encourage us. But offer up the prayers. Make sure it's oriented right. You're looking up to him, calling on the Father. Make sure it's all according to his plans and purposes, his kingdom, his will. God, I want this. If this is part of your plan, do that good and awesome work, Lord. In me, through me, by me, whatever it may be. God, I'm grateful I get to be a part of it. Give, forgive, lead, direct, protect. God, I need you tonight. Whatever. whatever that need may be, let's put it to practice right now. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. What is that need? For God to give, for God to forgive, for God to direct our steps, to deliver us from evil. Whatever that burden may be, you may have been praying for 20 years for someone. I want you to pray for them even right now. To call on the Lord and intercede for them. Maybe it's a burden you've been praying for 2 weeks for something. Choose to believe right now and ask. Choose to believe that He's good. Ask God to work His plans, to work His purposes for His glory. I promise you, according to the Word of God, it will be for His glory and for your good, whatever He does. Why? He's given us His Spirit. And the nearness of my God is my good. Father, you told Abraham to walk before you. You would be his shield. You would be his inheritance. And Father, may we as people of faith do likewise. Realizing, Lord, each day we can walk with you and talk with you. You'll guide our steps. You'll orient our steps. You'll help deliver our steps when they're going in the wrong path because you're a good shepherd. Your rod and your staff will comfort us and help us in those paths. Lord, we call on you tonight, Lord, because we are a needy people. Forgive us for our pride, Lord, when we don't think we need to ask for you, from you, of you. God, we repent of that tonight. Now, Lord, I know we all have things we've been carrying, calling on you for months, years, perhaps even decades. Right now, Lord, we ask again in faith. We seek your face. We knock at your door. We ask, Father, do your good will in that matter. And help us to resign control. And resolve that, Lord, we're going to let you work your good purposes out. And Lord, would you just give a peace to your people tonight, whatever that request may be, that it is safe and secure in your hands for you to accomplish your will. And give us comfort as we give it over to you. And Lord, I'm thankful we can do that throughout the day. And as a good father, you know the needs of all your children. So do your good work in our lives, we pray. Jesus, we praise you. We thank you. You opened up that doorway for us behind the veil to bring our burdens right into the presence of God. Thank you for your sacrifice, which made that possible. Thank you. You're our high priest right now, interceding for us. We're asking these things according to your will and for your glory and in your name. And all God's people said, amen and amen.